I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. It's been a pair of warm-up games for the BYU Cougars.
65 yards! Slovis to Rex! That had some heat on it. What a catch!
Now, BYU season turns to Power 5 opponents.
We're going to be aggressive and try to find ways to convert and keep the drives alive, and that's part of our game plan.
The Cougars start the season 2-0, and an offense with a lot of questions to answer. But hopes are high. They start to put it all together tonight.
Fly sweep get to Deion Smith, to the boundary, to the pylon, to the end zone!
The BYU Cougars travel to Arkansas for a showdown in the SEC. This is KSL's special extended pregame coverage, sponsored by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Our hosts are Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
We love this segment every single week here at 105 here on Cougar Sports Saturday or extended pregame coverage. It's our inside Cougar football look with BYU tight end and captain Isaac Rex. And myself and Matt Biamonte, we caught up with Isaac Rex to get a feel for how Rex is approaching this game and also his feelings on moving up the record books at BYU.
Inside Cougar football.
Rex makes the catch. 10-5 touchdown.
Inside Cougar football with Isaac Rex. Sponsored by Economics Partners on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Isaac, how's this week been for you getting ready for first trip to SEC country?
It's been good. Obviously, going into, you know, play any SEC team is kind of, you know, intimidating. Big stadiums, you know, big defenses, big guys. You know, Arkansas is a really good team, but we're excited. It's going to be fun. You know, like we had one of our best experiences it was 4 years ago against Tennessee, you know, where we went in, we're able to squeak it out late. And so we're hoping to, you know, have a fun experience like that at Arkansas.
Looking back at last week, Isaac, were you surprised that ball that Keaton threw on that 65-yarder, that it was able to thread the needle as smoothly as it did and land in your hands? Were you stunned it got there?
I actually didn't realize that safety was coming over. They played some really weird defense on that where they had, you know, a guy underneath me, a guy to the left of me, and then a safety coming over the top. So I actually didn't realize that there was a safety right there until I looked back at the film, and then I was like, dang, there was three guys around me. I thought it was just those two, the guy in front of me and the guy to the left of me. And so, yeah, looking back at it, I was like, wow, what a throw. I said before, I'm like, that's one of the best throws I've seen here at BYU since I've been here. So it was really, yeah, a cool moment, but a great ball by Keaton.
How much grief, though, did your teammates give you for not scoring a touchdown on that great pass?
Well, they gave me some grief. But here's the thing. So if you look back on the film, there's a corner who's a little – he's even a little ahead of me. He's like a 1 yard in front of me when I make that pass. And I weigh 255. That corner is probably 180. So show me film of any 255 guy, you know, outrunning a corner when they're right next, you know, when they're next to each other, you know, when they're at the same distance. If I had a 10-yard head start, then he wouldn't have caught me. But let's be realistic here, you know. So, you know, I still have to block people, so I can't lose all a ton of weight and outrun them. But it's
absolutely
all good.
No, that's good stuff. And I'm curious, when you bring up the film, how much do you enjoy breaking down film each week and getting ready for an opponent or scout and looking back on a game? How much do you enjoy that process?
I really enjoy it. I've been starting to really understand these past couple of years the importance of film and just how knowing just a little ahead of time maybe what a defense could be doing, the alignment of the defense, where they're positioned at, you know, like their stunts, their fronts on the D-line is really important. So I enjoy watching film before playing an opponent. Sometimes the film can lie and it's totally different than, you know, what you see on a Saturday, but it is really important to use and to watch every single week.
You've put together a lot of great film during your BYU career. 22 of those plays have ended up in the end zone. You're tied for the all-time lead for most touchdown grabs by a BYU tight end. How much would it mean to you personally to break the touchdown record for tight ends at a place that, you know, you look back at the history, kind of views itself like tight end U?
It would mean a lot. I think just to get, you know, one stat on at the top of a, obviously there's, you know, catches and yards, touchdowns, you know, there's even blocking stats and stuff like that. But to get like, you know, one of those records for touchdowns, I think is really cool. And to have my, you know, name cemented as the, you know, the tight end at BYU with the most touchdowns would be cool. Obviously there's a lot more guys at BYU, you know, or who have played at BYU that have more catches, that have more yards. So it tight end or touchdowns isn't really everything, but it is cool that I could get one of those stats.
I'm going to ask you this because you're a BYU guy. You grew up loving the Cougs and you've got strong family ties to BYU. So I'll ask you this. What is your ranking of the best BYU tight ends look like? And you can include yourself. Don't self-deprecate like Kalani and say that you are a nobody. You can include yourself if you'd like. If I'm going to put you on the spot, who would you say are some of the top all-time in your opinion?
Okay, I've been thinking about this, you know, for a little, and I don't want to leave anyone out because there have been so many good BYU tight ends. I know Jeff Hansen just did a ranking a little bit ago, and he has my dad over me, which I might disagree with, but I'm not going to put myself in my top five just because I think there definitely are, you know, 5 to 8 tight ends better than me. I'm going to go first in number five. I'm going to put Matt Bushman. For those 3 years, even though our teams weren't, you know, amazing, he led the team in yards, I'm pretty sure, maybe even catches. And in those 3 years, he would have, he had like a very successful career. And I know if he didn't get that hurt in that 2020 year, he would have had an amazing career, been a super high draft pick. So I'm going to go Matt 5. I'm going to go Itulamili 4. I'm pretty sure he played around 10 years in the NFL, very long career in the NFL, but he was a total stud. The Chad Lewis Itulamili combo was very deadly at BYU. That was a legit combination. Let's go 3. Who can I go 3 right here? Well, let's go. Who do you think? Can you name some names for me, and then I'll.
So you got Dennis Pitta. You got Johnny Harleen. You got Gordon Hudson. You've got Clay Brown, who was a tight end. You've also had, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. You got Byron Rex, your dad, of course. Chris Smith, okay, who played with Ty Detmer.
Yeah. I'm going to go Johnny Harleen third.
Okay.
Obviously, we all remember the Utah play, mm-hmm. but if you look back at his stats, he was John Beck's number one guy. So Johnny Harleen, I'm pretty sure he was an All-American or close to that. Yep. Total stud. And he does have probably the most recognizable play, single play in BYU history. Number two, I'm going to go Gordon Hudson. You know, played with some amazing quarterbacks. He was with Steve Young. He was just, if you look at his stats also, absolute monster, just a total stud. And yeah, he had 22 touchdowns his career. That's the guy I'm trying to beat. And then number one is Dennis. I'll go Dennis. And Dennis, man, like if you look back at his stats, he's the number one receiving tight end in the history of college football, which is ridiculous. I don't know about catches, maybe even catches too, but in the history of college football, to do that is absolutely insane. Like, you know, and he was a unanimous All-American, obviously won a Super Bowl, but to have that many yards as a tight end, granted, he didn't have his hand on the ground that much.
Yeah.
And I do give him some grief for that. He was in the slot a lot, but you know, to still hold that record, what, 10, 12 years later of, I don't even think anyone 14. Will be even close.
14 years huh? later.
I didn't realize Dennis was that old. But, no, to have that record 14 years later, I don't think there's a tight end in college football history, let alone BYU history, that will even come close to the stats he had. Just absolute beast, and it showed in the NFL. So that's my five. It's Dennis first, Gordon Hudson, Johnny Harleen three, and then Tula Mealy four, five, Matt Bushman.
I like that a lot. Dennis Pitta was a guy that you worked with a little bit in the offseason. He's obviously coaching at your old high school, San Clemente High. What are some things that you did pick up from him maybe in the offseason or pointers that he gave coming from, you know, the number one BYU tight end on your list?
Yeah, his route running is, and his knowledge about route running is amazing. He knows so much, obviously playing in the NFL and having a lot of yards and touchdowns and catches in the NFL. He is very knowledgeable about route running. So we worked a lot on that, a lot on, you know, releases and, you know, sitting in certain areas in zone and, just working on cuts and stuff. And so he was awesome this offseason. Austin Colley also worked with a lot of the receivers too, down in Southern California when Keaton would go and throw. So we'd like work out, you know, in the morning, and then throw with Keaton right after. So it was fun to be with Dennis, and he helped out the other tight ends also. And it was fun to be down there with him. And it's cool that he's coaching my, you know, old high school too.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get more with Isaac Rex on the other side here on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in. It's BYU and Arkansas game day, and we're breaking it down and a whole lot more with our weekly guest, BYU tight end Isaac Rex. And we already talked about last week's game and where you're at in the record books. Do you feel like you're playing some of your best football you've ever played, Isaac?
Yeah, there's still a lot that I can improve on. I mean, there's definitely some things I need to keep working on. You're as a player, you can always improve. You know, I never feel like you're at your best just yet. If you feel like you've arrived or made it, then that's where you kind of plateau. So, you know, I feel like I'm playing well right now, but I could definitely play better. I can improve a lot these next coming weeks.
And I'm sure the offense is looking to improve in these next couple weeks, starting with the Hogs. Last week was a great performance, 41 points. I'm sure there's still more to be had. Do you feel like that passing game and this offense can continue to have success with the maybe the ramp up in the schedule in terms of difficulty of opponents?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we can keep improving. There, you know, we left some points on the board on Saturday. We could have, you know, scored more. Had some costly penalties at inopportune times, kind of similar to our game against Sam Houston. So there's a lot more we can improve. Obviously, yeah, I mean, we're going to be going into SEC territory this week, and it'll be a very good test to see where we're at before starting Big 12 play. And so, yeah, I mean, we can obviously improve on a lot of facets, the run game, the pass game, on our offense in general. But, yeah, this week will definitely be a good test to see where we're at and where we need to change things.
You mentioned the run game, Isaac. What do you guys need to do to get that going a little bit more?
Against SU, they stacked the box, so they had two safeties really low, and it was kind of tough because, you know, we can't block everyone. And so it's important for, you know, us to get our IDs right on the offensive line and as tight ends and sticking on blocks. I could do a better job of just finishing blocks and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, we got to do everything in our power to help out whoever's in the backfield, whether it's Aiden, whether it's Dion, whether it's LJ. It's important to, you know, help them out. And I think we'll obviously, like, on against Sam Houston, everyone's like, where's the pass game? You know, so it's kind of just how sports is. Sometimes it, you know, the pass game's rolling, so you got to go with that. And sometimes the run game's going, so you roll with that. So as long as we got, you know, one of them rolling, I think we'll be in good shape.
You mentioned the running backs, all the options that you guys have. Aaron Roderick did announce earlier this week that LJ Martin's going to be the first running back. He's going to get the start. Does the offensive staff maybe let you guys know when there is maybe a new starter being inserted into the lineup going into a game, or is it sometimes, well, wasn't expecting that one?
Not really. I mean, you kind of just go into practice, and if you see someone new in the first huddle, you're like, oh, okay. Like, we've already been playing with them for so long. And we knew, you know, we all know how good LJ is, but we also know how good Aiden and Dion is, and they're going to keep contributing and helping us out. So, you know, there's really limited surprises when it comes to college football, but yeah, we're excited to see what our running backs do this coming Saturday.
Part two with Isaac Rex coming up after the break. Get some of your texts, your score predictions. It's BYU versus Arkansas extended pregame right here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Inside Cougar football.
Rex makes the catch, 10-5 touchdown!
Inside Cougar football with Isaac Rex, sponsored by Economics Partners on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Welcome back into extended pregame. BYU versus Arkansas coming to you from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Just down the road from us is Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. Man, it's beautiful weather out here in Arkansas. Love the atmosphere. Checked out Hugo's Burger Shop. Good stuff. Hey, unlike the players on the BYU team, we need to go out and about and kind of explore a bit. I'll tell you. Isaac Rex, he'll tell you that traveling is fun for the BYU football team, but it's definitely a business trip, and he's getting ready for tonight's game against the Hogs.
First road trip of the year for you guys. Take us through just the schedule. Like, when you get to town, what do you guys do while you wait and get ready for the game against the Hogs?
Yeah, when we go to the East Coast, when we skip, like, two time zones, it's nice because we leave on a Thursday. And so we leave on a Thursday and we get there, you know, Friday afternoon. And so you kind of have a day to just adjust to the time zone, you know, to the area you're in. Arkansas is not in that time zone, so it's only 1 hour. So we'll be leaving on a Friday. We have to leave from Salt Lake now because Provo Airport's getting redone.
Tell me you're in the A gates at least.
Oh, if we have to walk to B, I think I won't make it to the game. Because when you have to walk to B and You have all your luggage. You get
and
so
a kid.
Worn out.
Have you done it with? Have you done it with your kid?
We have done it with Luca. It's pretty torturous, and especially if you're running late. One time, me and my wife, we were all the way because Southwest, right? Southwest goes to B. So whenever you know you're in Southwest, you're like, oh, we got to walk to B. Well, one time, my wife left her suitcase at the she left it at the where the security is, and we walked all the way to B. And she's like, "You have my suitcase, right?" And I'm like, "No, you have it. It's your suitcase." She's like, "But I handed you to put it on the cart, you know, for the security." I'm like, "But it's your suitcase. You expect me to just carry your suitcase around?" And so she made me run all the way from B back to security, grab it from security, and then run back to B. And I barely made the flight. It was horrible. And I was sweating the whole time on the flight. It was disgusting. But it was, yeah, hopefully they don't have to make us go to B.
The worst part of that, too, is then you're trying to decide in the run, in the tunnel, do I get on the moving escalator, or is it just faster to avoid that? Like, it's such a hassle. So hopefully you don't fly out of B, but when you guys get to Arkansas, what's the plan?
So, yeah, when we get there, we just kind of we'll have like a walkthrough. We may do some, you know, stretching, eat some food. Usually they have really good food for us on all the away games. So it's fun to try different, I guess you could say cultures, but different states' foods. So, yeah, it's, I mean, you kind of just relax and get ready for the game. So you don't want guys too hyped up, you know, the night before game where they can't sleep or something like that. So everyone gets their good rest and just gets prepared the way they need to.
Are you with Keaton Slovis getting that coveted first class seat, or are you with Kalani and the coaches in Comfort Plus?
Well, they give the O-line the first class seats just because they're so big and, you know, they don't get much attention anyways. So they need all the attention they can get. And then, yeah, luckily I'm tall, so they help me out by usually giving me a first class seat, which is nice. But sometimes I don't get it all the time, so who knows? Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
What stands out about Arkansas on defense as we start to wrap this up?
Very big front seven. I know their D-line is like 6'7", 6'5", large guys. Of course, they're SEC players, so they weigh a lot. And then they play a lot of man. And they got a new defensive coordinator this year that, you know, they're hyped about from UCF, and it's, they're a really good team. They've been a good team for a long time. So we have to be on our A game. We got to be ready to roll, and we're excited to go play.
Is there an element of revenge at all from what happened last year in Provo?
I wouldn't say revenge. I feel like maybe for the defense there is, just because I think they scored like 52 on us or something, 50 on us last year. And so that was tough. We were actually, hanging with them for a good amount of time, it felt like. But, you never want to go into anything revengeful, because then you don't play the game that you want to play. You play very angry instead of playing level-headed and smart football. So maybe in life in general, you never want to like take revenge on people. We've learned that in multiple superhero movies and stuff like that. So I would say revenge isn't really the answer, but just going out playing smart football, enjoying the moment, and playing smart.
I wasn't planning on this, Isaac, but are you a superhero movie guy?
I am, but I've been pretty disappointed with superhero movies in general lately. Watching these superhero movies, I don't think they seem like money grabs, but in the past they felt, actual real, and they've seemed like intense, and they've actually had some weight to them. But now it just seems like, you know, they're just making them for money. And so, you know, I am a big superhero guy, but I've kind of just, maybe, I don't know if I've gotten older or the movies have gotten worse. I don't know.
I take it you haven't seen the latest animated Spider-Man then.
No, I loved Across the Spider-Verse. I thought that was the best one. But I like Ant-Man and the Wasp. I saw The Flash. I saw,
Blue Doctor Beetle. Strange. Did you dip into that?
I didn't see Blue Beetle, sadly, no. But, you know, they all have similar storylines. I'm a big Dark Knight guy. I think The Dark Knight is the best superhero movie of all time. I'd watch that actually probably yearly just to, you know, see the Joker's performance and to see Christian Bale and Heath Ledger. I think that is like my favorite superhero movie of all time. But yeah, I've been pretty disappointed lately with superhero movies.
Well, hopefully, Isaac, you can be Christian Bale against Arkansas's defense and give them some scars as you get ready to take on the Hogs. Best of luck, Isaac, and we will chat next week.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Big thanks to Isaac Rex every single week. The Inside Cougar Football interview sponsored by Economic Partners. Always enjoy those chats with Isaac Rex. We're taking a break. News, traffic, and weather coming up next. We'll get a scoreboard update from Jason Jones, and then we'll get an insider report on the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas joins us next. It's extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Arkansas, right here on the legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
BYU's offense started scoring points just in time.
A throwback. Rex makes the catch, makes the dive, has the score. Touchdown, Cougars!
The Cougars' third game starts a series of Power 5 showdowns that will show how far the Cougars have come.
I'm really pleased with the guys and how they're playing. I like the way the offense is getting in the red zone. Let's just try to get there as much as possible.
You're listening to KSL Special Extended Pregame Coverage, sponsored by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air, on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in to extended pregame coverage of BYU versus Arkansas. It's Cougars' first trip to SEC country since 2019. You can listen to the game, of course, here on KSL News Radio, kickoff at 5:30 tonight between BYU and the Hogs. And to get an insider look at this Arkansas Razorback team, we're joined now by Ty Richardson. You can follow him on X at Ty Sports Radio, co-host of The Morning Rush on ESPN Arkansas. HitThatLine.com. Ty, is there any case of Arkansas overlooking BYU because of how they dominated the Cougars last year?
Man, I hope not, but it's been the case, I would say, as of last week where they overlooked a Kent State squad. They were favored by about 37 or 38, and they only won that game by 22 points and only scored 21 offensive points. So, I mean, I'm really curious to see how this Arkansas team responds. Think about the overall roster that BYU has, and I don't know if revenge is necessarily on the mind of every player, considering a lot of them weren't on last year's team, but you mentioned the SEC aspect. Anytime you get to go to an SEC opposing team's venue and come out with a win, I know that'd be a special feeling for Kalani Sitake and that football team.
Ty, last year against BYU, Arkansas racked up the yardage in the win. This year, new offensive coordinator. What have you seen? What are the changes from Dan Enos?
Well, I think in year one, you're still kind of waiting on things to fully gel because they're in a situation where while they do have the mainstay at quarterback in KJ Jefferson, they're still trying to figure out some other position on the field, particularly in the offensive line. And I'm really curious to see if BYU can stone them up front like they haven't actually been an Arkansas football team the last 2 weeks. What kind of happens with the rest of this football game tonight? Because I think BYU's passing defense has not looked bad the first two games. And if they can throw on the run and hinder Arkansas passing, it should be a very intriguing game tonight.
Both teams have some similarities with having success in pass defense. Arkansas has seen an uptick in interceptions through 2 weeks. What's caused that, in your opinion, Ty? And is it just a case of the opponents they're facing or improved personnel and talent across the board defensively for Arkansas?
I would say it's probably a little bit of who they played in an FCS opponent and a lower tier group of five opponent. And I think you also factor in the fact that they are going to be at some points more aggressive. I know Travis Williams, who came over from UCF, has preached that in the offseason, trying to force turnovers. I hope it continues. I don't know if it's just one of these two-game stretches where it's gone really right for this defense. But I think that Slovis is going to be under duress a few times tonight. And it's just a matter of how many times Arkansas can maybe force him into a tough situation where he does make that critical mistake that can also ultimately cost the football game one way or another for BYU.
Running back Raheem Rocket Sanders ran all over the Cougars last year. He's out tonight. How big of a loss is that, and who's going to fill his shoes?
Guys, it's a huge loss. And I'm going to be honest, I got PTSD watching Pakua Nacua in the on Sunday's last game. I mean, what he did for the Rams against the Seahawks reminded me of what he did in Provo last year against Arkansas. So happy he is not suiting up for them tonight. But to Rocket Sanders, I mean, he's preseason All-American, an absolute stud. And, I mean, there's just no one else in the football team that's 242 and runs a 4.4 like he does. So A.J. Green, Rashad DeBinion, Dominique Johnson are some of the other names that Cougar fans will familiarize themselves with because they'll get the bulk of the carries tonight, along with KJ Jefferson, who I guarantee you Cougar fans probably feel the same way about I do about Nacua when it comes to KJ based on some of the plays he made last year.
Ty Richardson's our guest. Follow him at Ty Sports Radio. HitThatLine.com, ESPN Arkansas. What are the best game day traditions in Fayetteville, Ty?
Boy, I know that y'all are getting to experience this a little bit earlier today. And for the fans listening right now that may be driving to Fayetteville or maybe want to make a trip at some point, there's so much. I mean, there's the going through the A right before game time. There's the hog walk, which it's a bunch of Arkansas players and the coaches, of course, walk down there and are greeted by the fans. We've got several great restaurants in the area. I'm partial to Herman's. That's where my graduation dinner was. Great day, great Philly, just a bunch of great things. So I think it's just the hog call, though. I mean, there's going to be some fans of yours that are like, what is this? Like, what is going on right now? But just calling the hogs, woo pig suey, it's definitely unique, to say the least, guys.
Can BYU fans expect to get some ice cream in the visitor section tonight?
It's not Mississippi State. I know that that's what they're known for. By the way, that ice cream's fantastic. I went to Starkville for the first time last year, and Arkansas was getting drilled like 30, so at least I got to have me some ice cream at the press box. But, yeah, I don't know. There's good food in the stadium. I'd recommend TJ's Butcher Boy Burger or Rice for the fans that are actually in the stadium and want to get something to eat. But I don't know. You might be able to get some shakes or Andes or something, but it won't be as good as the stuff at Starkville.
How do Arkansas fans feel about this game? Are they nervous at all, or do they expect a big win?
They should be, and that's kind of the same. I mean, the line opened at about 10.5, and that just goes to show you, and it's gone in favor of BYU. BYU heading into this 6:30 game tonight, it's about, I don't know, 8.5-point underdog. So I think that, I mean, there's confidence that if I'm a BYU fan, I'm pretty jacked about this game tonight. I'm thinking I can go in here and get a win based on how Arkansas played this. 2 weeks, to be honest, and I grew up in Arkansas, and I'm a little nervous about tonight, guys. I could see BYU because Arkansas has a 4-game stretch where it goes LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, then Alabama. 3 of the 4 games are on the road. One of them's in Jerry World and AT&T Stadium in Dallas. So if they don't win tonight, it could be tough sledding these next few weeks.
He's Ty Richardson. Follow his coverage at Ty Sports Radio. HitThatLine.com, ESPN Arkansas. Ty, appreciate the time, and we'll see you tonight in the press box, and this should be a good one tonight.
Guys, thanks for having me. Mitch, appreciate you popping on with us earlier this week. Y'all enjoy the game tonight. Should be a fun one.
Man, I cannot wait to hear that hog call tonight. Hopefully not too much, as BYU looks to maybe play a little rise and shout with all the Cougar fans that'll be in attendance tonight. Big thanks to Ty Richardson for joining us, though. To give an insider look into the Hogs, should be a fun matchup tonight. Got to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll get to more BYU-Arkansas coverage coming to you from Fayetteville. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, live on location. More on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
BYU, Arkansas.
To the boundary, to the pylon, to the end zone! Touchdown!
Special extended pregame coverage on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to pregame, extended pregame coverage of BYU and Arkansas. We're here till 3:30 p.m. getting you ready for kickoff between the Razorbacks and BYU. And Mitch, it's not often that BYU comes down to SEC country, let alone plays an SEC team. They have done it in the past. What are some of the most memorable moments from BYU's time playing against SEC competition?
Oh, I love these SEC games. It's only the seventh time in BYU's history they're actually playing in an SEC venue. There's the LSU game, but that was a Superdome.
Yep.
Missouri was in Arrowhead. It's only seventh time. One of my favorites had to be at Ole Miss, the Grove. I was there. It was such a fun game, the first game of independence. It wasn't pretty, though. The game itself was a mess. BYU was scoreless going into the fourth quarter, but the man, Kyle Van Noy, who not in the NFL right now, hopefully he can get another crack eventually, but Kyle Van Noy with a strip sack against Ole Miss.
Takes a shotgun snap. BYU gets in. He's being chased. He goes out. Fumble! Fumble! Picked up! And who's got it? At the goal line. Who's got it? Touchdown! Touchdown, BYU! Kyle Van Noy, the fumble recovery, and they score!
BYU took down Ole Miss 14-13 in 2011. That's always a memorable one to me.
And for me, that was my first game in KSL Broadcast House as a Rubel intern.
Okay,
so I remember that one fondly. But one that will always stick out in my mind is what happened in Knoxville, Tennessee, back in 2019, where there was a lot of hope, a lot of optimism. The offense was sputtering, and then there was a miracle at the end of the game that allowed it to get to overtime.
A step up by Wilson. Deep man is open. It's caught by Simon.
Oh, yeah,
he's 30,
baby.
The 40, the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15.
You got to hustle. You got to hustle.
That was the early moments of the Riley Nelson, Greg Rubel tenure. Riley still learning when it was appropriate to jump in on the call. But I don't blame him. It just seemed like there's no way BYU is going to win this game, and Tennessee looked bad. You're like, BYU should win this football game. Then out of nowhere, that huge pass, and it set up an Oldroyd field goal that he barely snuck in there, and then they win in overtime. But anytime you can beat the Vols in such an iconic venue like Neyland, it was awesome.
Tennessee, a lot different then in 2019 against Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee, than what they are today with Josh Heupel. But, yeah, that was another struggle offensively for BYU until late-game heroics turned the tide for BYU.
Did I ever tell you I ran into Pruitt the next day at some sandwich shop on Tennessee's campus? For a minute there, I was going to talk to him. I'm like, I can't do it to him. He just blew the game on some – so, no, I got the picture. I got to show you.
Did he hand you a McDonald's bag?
No. I'm trying to remember the sandwich shop, too.
Remember that joke?
Yes.
Jeremy Pruitt. They
yes,
got
with
busted
the cash
for NCAA with McDonald's bags. Here you go, Matt. Here's a little handshake with a Big Mac in there.
A large Diet Coke would have been just fine for McDonald's.
How about in that Tennessee game, though? Tyson Williams. He just kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed into that end zone.
Wilson, shotgun. Twins to either side. Snap, Zach, handoff, Tyson, to the 5-4-3, Pilas pushing, he gets to the goal line,
he's in,
no signal, they mark him short, but he's
touchdown,
in the end zone,
touchdown,
they send the touchdown, he got in, and the Cougars win!
Meanwhile, Dave Pasch is in the ESPN booth. Touchdown, BYU wins, and an absolutely horrific gut-wrenching loss for the Tennessee Vols.
You're right. I remember that. Unbelievable. Gut-wrenching loss.
I'm thinking BYU's not that bad. Come on.
No. Look, I do think this, Mitch. Go ahead. You got something? Oh, we're a couple hours away from kickoff between the Razorbacks and BYU, and I think this game will mirror those games that we just heard calls from. It's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter and who can execute. It's not going to be a LSU situation. It's not going to be a Mississippi State situation in 2017. I'm feeling like this is going to be a close game. BYU is much better than those old BYU teams, and we could be setting up for another memorable moment like the ones we just heard.
Real quick, before we get to a break, do you know BYU's first ever game against an SEC team?
Was it in the 80s?
It was in the 80s, 1982. BYU went between the hedges to face number 6 Georgia.
Oh, Steve Young got blasted.
That's right. He had 6 interceptions, and BYU still almost had a chance to take down Herschel Walker and the Bulldogs. They were an SEC champ that year. That was 17-14. BYU looking to get a win today against Arkansas. We got to take a timeout. Hour number 3 will be off and running on the other side. We will get to Tyler Batty, BYU's captain on the defensive end. He'll join us next here on Extended Pregame, BYU versus Arkansas from Fayetteville.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.